What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Hey, what's up? It's Tiki Barber. If you're like most NFL fans, you spend 690 minutes or so a week thinking about football. Fantasy rosters, game day rituals, smack talk with friends. We put some serious time into the perfect Sunday. From the snacks, to the jersey, to the one lucky seat on the couch, everything has its place. You probably spend more time on your famous chili than most quarterbacks do watching film. But there's one play that gets overlooked. Making a plan to get home safely. It only takes 1 minute. Before kickoff, take a minute to order an Uber and get 25% off your next ride on a game day by using promo code MAKEAPLAN26. Now through February 9th. That's MAKEAPLAN26. Whether you're hosting, heading to the bar, or going to the game itself, make it a part of your ritual, just like checking the injury report or setting your fantasy lineup. Take a minute. Make a plan. Never drive impaired. Visit TakeAMinuteNow.com. This message is brought to you by Diageo, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and the NFL. Please drink responsibly. Diageo, New York.
All these patients complaining they can't get their medicines. Insurers and PBMs are often owned by the same giant company, so middlemen, like me, decide what medicines you can get and how much you pay. But don't worry, if your prescription gets denied, we know another one that works for us. I mean, you.
Washington should stop PBMs and insurers from driving up drug costs. Learn more at phrma.org/insurer costs. Paid for by pharma.
All right, here we go on the podcast. It's Monday after the Super Bowl, and we got lots for you. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. Over this weekend when it was like really nasty cold.
It's horrible. It's
still nasty cold out there, but I guess it's going to get to 30 today or something crazy.
35 tomorrow.
But I was really thinking this, like as I walked my dog in the 5-degree weather.
And with the wind chill, you were in the negatives.
Oh, it's nasty. And the amount of people that do not shovel their walkway, it's a lot.
Like the sidewalk, you mean?
Yeah, sidewalk. Yep. And then for this storm in particular, if you waited, it became impossible because then it was all ice. So
correct.
I do think that happened with people. But I got to thinking about, like, I used to, when I lived in Basking Ridge, I had a garage. And it is so pleasant if you can pull your car in and out of a garage in the winter.
I know.
And, by the way, in the summer when it's 1,000 degrees and the sun is just
beating. In the shade in the garage.
Yeah, like a garage is really great. But the amount of people.
Hello.
That
I
have a garage.
I know what you're going to say.
And don't have room for their cars seems nuts to me.
I have a two-car garage.
And no cars fit in there.
Now, in fairness to me, it's really a one-car garage because when we bought the house, the one side, the one garage area had a giant fitness thing. Like this Nautilus thing set up. And they offered to take it and throw it in the dumpster. It's a really good unit. It's like a $4,000 unit. Or if we wanted, we could keep it. I asked my Matthew at the time was probably 20. He was probably 14. And he was starting to lift with high school sports. He asked to keep it. I'm like, that's fine. So we kept it. And we've gotten good use out of it. So it's really a two-car garage. That's a one-car garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's become, that's where all our golf equipment goes. You're talking 4 golf bags, shoes. We've got all the overflow of the water and the food that we, there's no room for a car. There's just not.
Yeah, I made a list of things that are, you have to be a moron to do. One, live in New York or New Jersey. That was one.
I'm with you, man.
Two, live there and you buy a house without a garage.
I had a house without a garage. It's hard.
Three, buy a house with a garage, but don't use it to put your car in.
Yeah, well.
Or four, getting a dog without a fenced-in yard. Those are your four moronic things, starting with living in this area.
The problem for us, too, with the garage is when, like, I think if I didn't have kids, I think it's easy.
Yeah.
All the kids' sports stuff is in the garage. Like, there's just, and when I tell you, we're busting at the seams in the garage. I don't want that stuff in the house.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do? Go spend $5,000 on another shed?
What about a basement? You got a basement as well?
We do, but it's set up for, you know, like the one room. All right, so if you walk downstairs into my basement, if you walk left and to the left, that's where my office is set up. It's like a studio office. That's gone. I don't want their crap in there. Absolutely not. If you come down the steps, go to the right and to the right, that's where the furnace is and the air conditioning unit and all that stuff. If you go straight downstairs, you've got the basement, but we've got a couch and a TV on one side. The other side, we've got a poker table and an air hockey table and a TV on that wall. Where am I putting all this stuff? Like, I don't want baseball bats and cleats down there.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff.
I would need another shed for it.
Hmm.
Which is appealing.
Yes. The other thing that I was, you know, this Grok or AI, whatever one you're using, whatever one you like.
I use ChatGPT.
Okay. It could be so helpful.
It can be. Times. I agree. I'm actually going to write a resume today.
I had one today. So the other day I'm doing the.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
A laundry. And it's just every time I do laundry, my pipes bang.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the laundry. Bang. Boom. Boom. This is so stupid. Why are my pipes banging only when... So I ask Grok, why are my pipes banging when I do laundry, but I take a shower, no problem, sinks, blah, 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 blah. Grok goes, oh, that's because the modern day washers shut the water off and on.
Really?
And it's a fast motion that it makes the pipes bang.
How about that?
They go, oh, just get these... there's these things you attach to the... where the water comes into the washing machine. They go, oh, just put these things on it. It acts like a bumper.
And it worked.
Well, I don't know. I did order them, though. But I didn't even know a thing like that even existed.
I wouldn't either. There's a lot that's out there that exists we don't know about.
You notice that with your laundry? The pipes, does it bang?
We don't have that, no.
You don't get that?
No.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it seemed to be a common thing.
Interesting.
So I was happy to have, like, found a solution to that.
That's good. I have used it for a lot more from everything from... Not diet advice, but meaning diet in terms of food and recipes and things like that, to business plans, which it writes the entire business plan for you. I told you I wrote a book, which I haven't done anything with, but I had it edit, not add, just edit for grammar. It's amazing. You put it in chapter, like one chapter at a time. So you spit out, let's say, 10 pages, and you instruct it, only correct grammatical mistakes. And it spits it out and tells you what it corrected. You used the wrong there in paragraph 8. And, you know, I put T-H-E-R-E instead of T-A. It's unreal. It's really good for a lot. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. But it does screw up a lot too, though.
It does.
It's not like rock solid.
Yeah, and I'll be like, you were wrong here. Like, oh, yeah, my bad. Oh, okay. Good thing this wasn't like a life or death situation.
Well, that's
Grok.
The other thing. It can tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah, they have said that a lot of times it tells you what you want to hear.
Yeah. So when I put in like a business model, I literally will tell it. If this is a bad idea, tell me. I forget what word I use, but I don't want false advice.
Yeah, don't kiss my ass.
Right. And it the first thing it'll tell you is, that shows me that you're serious.
Yes, I am, ChatGPT.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Hmm. Yeah, I had it too this morning when I noticed, and it was my first time ever, where I noticed the hot water was not coming out of the pipes.
Yeah.
Or the sink. It was coming out, but it was not, it was very weak. I was like, what the hell is this? So I asked Grok, because I thought if my pipes are going to be frozen, the cold water wouldn't come out fast.
Right.
Which it did, but it said why it was a common thing and to do this and that. And I said, oh, should I leave the hot water running when I go to work? No, don't do that. Leave the both waters on, but just a tiny, small stream.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Keeps the flow going.
Yeah, I guess it keeps the flow going. It's like your prostate.
Like your prostate.
Just keep a nice little slow stream going the entire time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jerry.
Oh, yeah. This prostate is, man, it's a tricky thing, man.
Prostates.
Yes.
I watched the video having to deal with the prostate.
Okay.
So
was it mine?
It was not. I did watch yours. I watched your video with your prostate drink to help your prostate, which is not a Fugazi thing. It's actual just fruits and things like that.
It doesn't work. You're not hurting yourself.
You're not still on a pill.
Right.
So I watched this. There's like a penis doctor woman on YouTube. You've seen her before.
I probably subscribed to her. She's a urologist, correct?
Yeah, urologist woman. And she wrote a headline. It was called, "How Many Times a Month Should You Ejaculate?"
Oh, okay.
And it was about prostate health.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about, like, they did these studies on how often you should ejaculate in order to...
Keep the prostate healthy. Yeah.
And it was at least 4 times a month.
Okay.
You should ejaculate. And they showed that men who didn't ejaculate had more risk of prostate cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder why. Did she say?
I Googled this one time. Actually, I used ChatGPT on this one time.
Okay.
It was one of those random thoughts I had in my head one day when I was just at home. And I was like, okay.
I'm sorry, hold on.
Yes.
One of your random thoughts was how many times a month you should ejaculate.
Well, I had to do with the prostate, and I was like, I remember reading that for prostate health, you should ejaculate a certain number of times. So I looked it up, and it gave me a similar answer, as I recall. And when I asked why, it was almost like it's a clearing out of the stuff sitting
that
in the prostate, or that builds up in the prostate, and when you... shoot
like
it out.
Flushing it out.
Yeah, it's like a flushing out situation. The more that you could flush it out more, which makes sense because I would think as guys get older, they ejaculate less.
I would think.
Thus, that's when we get prostate issues.
Not if you're Bill Belichick.
Not if you're Bill Belichick, perhaps. Right, he's probably like, I don't even get up to pee, Jerry. What the hell are you talking about? Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if that's...
Did she say there's an amount that's too much?
She did not.
Okay.
But it seemed like there was a minimum amount where they saw improvement, and that was 4 times a month.
Okay. So it's funny because I was watching one this morning from a guy had 4.5 million views, and he claims that, and as a urologist, he claims the biggest issue is the diet, is insulin. It's one of the things they found in the last year. That if your diet is spiking insulin, which is, again, all processed crap and a lot of sugar, that you are, I think it was 80% likely to have enlarged prostate or prostate issues.
Hmm.
Which, again, makes sense for what my diet's been my whole life. So that doesn't shock me at all. And then he also, one of the other things, I think, I get the videos confused. I believe it was him that also talked about you have to have regular sleep. That if your sleep cycle is not somewhat normal, you got no chance. So I look at those two things. I feel like over the last year, my sleep cycles have been much more normal. I mean, I go to bed at the same time Sunday night through Thursday night. I stay up a little bit later on Friday, not much. Saturday is an issue because I stay up till 11 o'clock on Saturday. But I feel like I've done a better job of that over the last year than I had the previous 15 or 16 with these hours.
Yeah.
So... I mean, remember back in the day, I used to go to bed at 6 o'clock, wake up at 10, voice highlights, and then go back to sleep from 1 to 3:30.
Yeah, that's wild.
What was I doing to myself?
I don't know.
I mean, the money was great. Don't get me wrong.
That's why you were doing it.
And I probably would say yes again for what they paid me. But God, I was
right,
killing
you were
myself.
Waking up at what time you were going to bed?
I was going to bed at 6.
Okay.
I would get up at 10 because I had to be ready for when the games were ending, and then I would basically voice highlights for 3 hours sporadically. And then as soon as the last West Coast game was over, I could go back to sleep. And I was getting up. We didn't do the warm-up show. And I had no responsibilities until I could get to 6:15. I was on wins. So I had to be at work by 5:30. So I could sleep till almost 4. So I was sleeping for 4 hours, up for 3, sleep for 3.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Ooh.
We had so I noticed a couple things on Twitter from Friday.
Okay.
Of a couple of part-time WFAN employees who announced that they were leaving WFAN.
Yeah. Right.
Because they, well, one, I guess, mentioned that because he didn't get the Eddie Scazzeri job.
Oh, that was made pretty clear, yeah.
And then the other one was just that they were leaving. It was time to move on.
Right.
And it was weird because I think there was a time at WFAN prior to Boomer and Carton starting, so prior to 2007. And you tell me, because you were here,
yeah,
it seemed like when full-time jobs opened...
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
They went to the part-time person with the longest tenure, regardless of what person was a better fit for the job. Is that fair to say or no?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking of...
like when you got to do Mike and the Mad Dog board op.
So that was right place, right time. So at that point, I was only working Friday night tape. And I was doing... I was doing Friday night tape, and then I was anchoring Friday night into Saturday morning, and that was it, because I had left my full-time job to go work with my dad, and I was doing 106.3 in the morning. So those are the two things I left. I was working full-time with Beningo overnight, left that to go work with my father, because I got double the pay to go run a warehouse that I was getting paid. I was getting paid $22.5 to be Joe's overnight producer. My dad offered me $44,000. To go work normal hours in the warehouse because one of their warehouse managers left. And I couldn't do it anymore. I was drowning. So I said I was thrilled to do it as long as Spitz and Chernoff would allow me to keep a shift and my one anchor shift on the overnights. And we rolled it all into one. So I would go from the warehouse on Fridays, would leave at 4. I'd work tape 6 to midnight. And then midnight to 6 a.m. I was the anchor. So I wasn't around often during the day. There was a week where I filled it. It's funny. It was Carlin being off. I filled in for him. Joan Chin was the board op. I was not next in line to do anything. I was there having a conversation with Mike and Chris. They walked out of the control room, and Joni goes, "They really seem to like you." I'm like, "Yeah, I've always had a good relationship with both of them." She goes, "Well, I'm going to tell you something no one knows. I'm going to Sirius." She goes, "You think you want to do this?" I'm like, "I'd love to do it. I mean, I need a job at this point," because I knew the warehouse job was going away. And it was just right place, right time. So I don't know that for me that one worked, but that's interesting that you bring that up because you might be right about that. Like you'd have to ask G, was he just the next in line to become Joe and Evan's producer?
Yeah, that'd be a good one to ask.
Because they moved Eddie into afternoons with Mike and Chris at that point? I don't know. I'll tell you where that does fit. There used to be an evening producer slot full time. I felt like the next in line always, that was like the next step, either the board op or the producer, but I don't know. About
to working with like Steve Summers?
Yeah, whoever it was at night. It probably was Steve at that point. But I don't know about like the, like Eddie got the producing job for Russ and Steve. He was already full time. He wasn't, they just moved him and then they moved him into the afternoon. No one got that was next in line. Good question.
Yeah, so I guess some people were told that they were not getting the Eddie
okay.
job. Okay. I don't know if the person who is getting the job was told, or I don't know where they're at with that, but right. I guess it had gotten around that there were certain people that were eliminated for the job.
Right. That's what it sounds like happened. Yes.
And those people left, which by the way, makes sense to leave.
If yeah,
there's very few,
there's no shifts here.
Yeah. There's very few full-time jobs that open up. Right. So if you wait and wait, I mean, you know, I thought about this whole thing is CeeLo.
Okay.
CeeLo left, albeit a low-paying full-time job with Boomer and Carton.
Yes.
To do update shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been a part-time update person.
Yeah.
For 15 years.
Yes.
And now he'll piece together. He does FAN stuff. He'll fill in for you. He does stuff at Sirius. He's on television on SNY. So he would probably say that was the smarter move for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was looking for a full-time anchor shift here.
Yes.
They just don't exist.
Correct.
I mean, they don't exist now, but even all those years, they were jobs like we talk about in broadcasting. Al Michaels never leaves. Like, they're good jobs, so wouldn't leave.
Well, and when people were leaving, they weren't replacing them.
Yeah.
That's what's happened over the last 5 years. So, like, when Minko, either left or quit or whatever, they went, Harris kind of went at the same time. They condensed. It used to be 4 full-time anchor shifts. They condensed it to 3. So they eliminated a position. Therefore, no one got a job.
Right.
Like 2 people left, no one got a job. You know, and they combined it with the network, which made sense.
Yeah. So it does make sense to me if you are part-time. If you're part-time here looking to be part-time because you're doing other stuff, I think that's one thing. If you are looking to do this full-time and a rare full-time opening opens up and you don't get that, it does make sense to be like, I got to go somewhere else.
Yeah. But where are you going? That's the problem with this business right now.
Yeah, it's not. Well, that's what I mean. It's like where you're going is not in this business.
Right. I can tell you, I'm not going to mention names. I've talked to several people that don't work here anymore. And most of them are not doing well. And their job search is a big fat nothing.
Yeah.
And they're now at the point where, all right, now I got to look to like office jobs. Or like, and then they're worried about, is AI going to take that job if I get a job like that? You know, so it's not easy. I will tell you, in CeeLo's case, I do really believe he does well. The problem for him, and it does suck, is he has no vacation days. So if he takes off, he doesn't get paid.
Right.
But he does get, I don't even think he uses it because I think his wife has a good job with benefits, but he can have full family medical because through the union, he works plenty of shifts and makes enough money. But you are correct in that between SNY and here and whatever else he does, he actually does relatively well. It's part-time, but it's like a full-time, part-time job, especially adding Sirius to the mix.
Right.
It's just you don't know where you're at every week. That's right. The problem.
And you got to hustle and take
You'll be organized.
Yeah, and I would feel pressured. Like any shift offered, you kind of have to make it
work
for
you. Say yes every time.
Yeah, otherwise they're going to stop asking you. They'll go to the person that says yes all the time
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not. It's hard. It's a hard business. And it's weird because there feels like and seems like there's so much more opportunity with the podcasting now. But how many of those are real jobs that are actually going to pay you?
Right.
Or do you got to go establish yourself, get an audience for them to pay you? So it's like, that's exploding, but is it really? This is dying, but is it really? Because we're still here. Or you go to TV, which good luck getting in if you don't have the trade.
Yeah. We also don't know, like, what the person, like, when Eddie retires and they put somebody in that Eddie role, what does that mean? Like, what is that job? Is it things other than what Eddie was doing? So Eddie's doesn't do social media. Eddie doesn't do video editing. Right. And, you know, is that going to be part of that person's job?
I think that's pretty well known.
Yeah.
I don't know about the social media stuff, but I think you're going to have some ability to do video editing and create content that Eddie does a lot of other things. I think this is either going to be added onto it or substituted for something else he did.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty well known.
Yeah, so I think that's the other thing that they'll be looking for in that job, and it's not exactly what Eddie was doing.
Right.
Right.
Be a little different.
Yeah, be a little different. So, yeah.
I wonder if that job title will also be assistant producer so that when you're out, they're doing that too. Well, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Yeah, no, I think they would schedule someone.
I would think so, but you never know.
For me. Yeah.
You know, it's a rapidly changing business.
Do you think at some point down the road, I don't know how many years this will be, but somewhere down the road, Gio is hosting a show wherein he is also at the controls?
No, I don't think so.
Because I think when Craig was at New Jersey 101.5, I think Craig sat at a radio board, ran the commercials. Now, he may have had sort of a board operator assistant with him.
I don't think he'll ever be fully in control like that. I don't. I think it's too hard. Who's answering the phones? Unless you're going to go back to the day
AI
and age
robots.
Of you're on the air. I don't think so. I think now.
What about an AI robot that goes like, "Hi, you've reached WFAN.
Yeah.
What did you want to talk about?" And then the robot is
software,
like AI me. They're mean to the callers.
Is it possible? Yes, I think it's. I think it's more possible that the control room is cut in half when you leave.
What if I did this for my future, Jerry? I create an AI phone screening software for the business. Now
great.
I'm going to put a lot of people out of work.
You got about $50,000 to sink into this. Let's go.
But it's me. screening calls around the country with my bad attitude, where I'll be like, no, that's stupid.
Yeah.
We're not talking about
that. Not going to work, but I mean, you could try it.
But then you could, like, I leave it up to the individual radio stations to adjust my meanness.
You'd be like Paul Turner. You give them what they want.
Yes.
Do you want a nice screen caller? You want someone in the middle? Or do you want a D-bag?
Yeah.
And then you give them what they want.
And I think, oh, boy, I see the problem here. We have this on D-bag setting. Oh, boy. We got to, somebody got into the settings here. Our apology. If you tried calling the radio station the last few days, one of these kids got in here and switched the call screening setting to D-bag. So that's what we got now.
Speaking of D-bag, serious radio question. Boomer said jackass jerk off today.
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Not sure.
I almost fell off my chair.
I think this is the way I always, when I was king of the dump button, Jerry.
Yes.
You could call somebody a jerk off.
You can't talk about the act.
You can't talk about the act of jerking off.
Like when Gio called the guy a dick.
Right.
That's okay because it has nothing to do with the anatomy.
It's right.
You're being a jerk.
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
That's how I always took it when I was doing it for Opie and Anthony.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
No, but that makes sense. I could see that.
They would even use, like, you could call somebody a pussy on the air.
Wow.
And as long as that's how you were using it.
How about that?
I would let that go.
Interesting.
Do you know they were told one time that they were no longer allowed to say Howard Stern's name on the air?
Because of him?
Yeah, Howard went to the company.
This is what I don't understand about bully radio hosts. Call them what you want. They're usually the most successful guys.
Yeah.
That are really friggin' good at what they do. So much so that they get big ratings, they get big paychecks, and they're unquestioned. Like, they're great at their job. They make a living picking on people. But the second you say a word about them, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
You want to fight? Bring it on. Like, well, I would think those people, more than anybody, would let that stuff roll off their back and laugh at it. And you're saying Stern would basically tell them they couldn't even say his name?
Yeah, Stern went to Mel Karmazin, who was running the company, and we were told that Opie and Anthony are not to talk about Howard.
That's wild.
So you also weren't allowed to, like, you just couldn't reference Howard. So if Anthony did the Howard Stern laugh, I would have to dump that.
The laugh?
Ooh, yeah, that was
You're
out.
You're kidding.
But what's funny is before I took on the dump button, somebody else was doing it.
Yeah.
And they were told they weren't allowed to talk about Howard Stern. Do you know that Anthony just used to refer to him as, and get this, the guy on the dump button did not know this was meant Howard Stern, Big Bird in the Morning. Oh, Big Bird in the Morning was talking about that.
How would he not figure that out?
I don't know.
That's hilarious. But then
that guy, once I took over, Big Bird in the Morning had to come out.
Wow. Is that because you knew what it meant?
Yeah, and then eventually, yeah, the it got word out that that's how they were getting around it.
That is amazing. That really blows my mind.
Yeah, especially honestly. Since Howard attacked Imus all those years.
Yes!
In the same company.
Right. This is like Radio 101. This is what these guys do.
And somebody did catch up with Howard Stern one time and asked him about that on tape. And he said, yeah. He goes, I built this company. Those guys shouldn't be talking about me.
I get that side of it. But I also get the side of being bigger than them.
Yeah.
And fighting back and having fun with it.
I think he was afraid of them. I do.
That's interesting. Because they were really big at that time. But not as big as him.
They weren't.
Never as big
as him.
But
they were like the up-and-comers. And
I know they were. Listen, I remember Mike and Chris, number one, number one, number one, until they weren't. Everybody always forgets about that two-year period.
Yeah.
Where they got bumped from number one, and those wow stickers were all over the tri-state area.
Yes.
I was like one of the lone 30-year-old somethings that still listen to Mike and Chris. All my friend, I'll tell you, I'm not going to say his name, but there's someone that worked here that would.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Leave to go listen to the open of the. He would take his lunch break late because they were on a two, right? Or three?
Three.
He would take a late lunch to go listen to the open of their show.
Yeah.
Worked in the building. That's how popular they began.
Yes, they were. So oh, they were, Jerry. Oh, they were.
Until they had to crash and burn.
Until, yeah, that did not last very long. Right. All right, let's do the warm-up program.
All right.
I did that with you. We'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. Until then, so...
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.